Father God, I just want to thank you for who you are, and I want to thank you for your goodness. Your goodness. Thank you, Lord, that we can live in your goodness. We thank you for this series that we've been in, just learning about your goodness and how we can live in it. And yeah, I thank you so much, Father God, for the word that you've planted in Dom's heart for this morning. I believe that it's right. And so I just pray, Father God, that you would prepare the soil for your word this morning, that seeds would be planted deep, not shallow, but deep. And yeah, I just thank you in advance for all that you're going to do. And yeah, we just lift this word up to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Jess. One thing I really value is the sharing that we get to do here in this church. You know, to be able to hear, to celebrate, to be able to pray for circumstances and situations, to journey alongside. I just really value that. Thank you. That's what I want to say this morning. Thank you for sharing and being brave to be able to do that. Sheep are interesting creatures, aren't they? Hey? They're very, very interesting creatures. Who's had the privilege to go on a farm and hang out with some sheep? Yeah? I had a pet sheep when I was a kid. My parents thought it was wise for us to have a pet sheep. I tried to ride it like a horse. Didn't work. Poor sheep. We tried to do many things, and then one day the sheep disappeared. Anyway, don't know where it ended up, but sure it tasted all right. But they're a funny creature. That we often crack a lot of jokes about sheep, don't we? You know, there's jokes out there like, what do you get when you cross a sheep and some chocolate? A candy bar. Oh, terrible. What? That's real bad. What's a sheep's favourite snack? A banana. Oh, dear. Despite what people say about sheep, I like them. I think they're good creatures. And the way I like them is in an oven at 180 degrees, smothered in olive oil with rosemary and salt. Right? Comes out nice and crispy. Anyway, we'll leave it there. That's how I like sheep. Why am I talking about sheep? Because sheep are mentioned quite a lot in the Bible. Some say about 500 times in Scripture, sheep are mentioned. There's a prominence about sheep in the background in the Bible, bringing about two realities for us, to share two realities. Sheep are important to nomads, particularly throughout the Old Testament, when they journey a lot, right? They were one of those animals that they could take with them. And they could they roamed the country with them, like a little bit like the Hebrew people. They roamed for a long period of time before they actually settled. Secondly, sheep are used throughout the Bible to as a symbol to refer to God's people, to refer to us in some regards, to be able to bring us some teaching. So throughout the Bible, writers have used sheep many times to demonstrate the care fostered between the shepherd, Jesus, and us, his people. There's that real relationship there. We stand a long way from a biblical shepherd. I don't know any biblical shepherds. It's only from what I've read and learnt about in time that I sort of get a little bit of a glimpse of what the biblical shepherds were, but particularly the way that they would care for their sheep, the responsibility that they held in caring for somewhat would might be the sacrificial lamb. The one that would be used as an atonement for sin in the temple, to raise one to be perfect. I look at a sheep and I don't really think they're that perfect myself, but that sometimes was their job. But for us, we're so far removed from that. And we often see sheep either in the paddock as you drive past. I haven't seen many sheep around here. I've got none in my backyard. Or you see them wrapped in plastic at Coles and Woolworths. Is the only other place. We see probably more of them than anywhere else. But we're talking about this series, Living in the Goodness of God, with today's theme is how Jesus treats his sheep. How Jesus treats his sheep in our journey through the 23rd Psalm this morning. the particular line we're going to focus on in that psalm, and it's there on your handout at the very top, and it's underlined for you there this morning. It says, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." I don't take a rod and a staff to bed with me at night and cuddle onto them to seek comfort from them. Yeah? They're not one of those things that I see as a, you know, a pillow comfort, a mattress comfort, but not so much them. So what in the world does that mean for us? Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. How do these two sticks bring comfort? Well, the rod, which is basically like a stick. I haven't got one here to show you this morning, but it's a defensive tool used against predators like wolves or anything that would come and try and take the life of the sheep. They would use them to be a bit violent towards animals, to scare them away, or like a shoe stick, you know, shoo, get away, shoo, go, don't come near the sheep, to protect the sheep against danger that would come their way. They're usually about 40 to 60 centimetres long, so if I was a fisherman, I'd say much longer, but they're usually around about that much, right? And it was a protective tool, because after all, sheep are fairly defenceless animals. They don't have claws that can scratch or grip. They do have sort of toenails, but they don't have even the teeth strong enough to do any damage. So they need something to protect them, and that was the role of the shepherd to be able to do that. They also, the shepherd would have a staff or a crook, which is like, you know, with the hook on the end, the thing we quite often see in different pictures. They could use that to poke the sheep to sort of get them back on the trail, or they could also use the hook in the other way to use them as an off-road recovery tool to grab their leg that's getting stuck in the barbed wire, or to be able to, you know, grab them around the neck to say, well, that's not a good way to go, let's go back this way. So it was more of like a guiding tool. So a rod is used for guarding and protecting, where a staff was used for guiding and directing. Both were quite prominent. So what's some of the meaning in these particular these tools? The rod represents power and authority, because it says I'm in charge and I'm in control. If you've got hold of that, I'm in charge and I'm in control. And the shepherd's staff and the rod both have a long history, particularly through imagery. The Egyptian rulers would often be shown with a rod and a staff in paintings to declare, you know, like I'm someone of power and authority, and that's why I hold on to them. I'm in charge here. Also within the church tradition, some bishops will be seen holding on to them, again, as a symbol of authority, taking care of God's flock entrusted to me. The staff represents care and compassion, because it's used as a rudder to guide, to be able to guide along the path. It is used to rescue, and it's also used to recover as well, as we've talked about. So now you know about the tools and what they're used for. When we look at it in the context of Psalm 23, what does that mean to us? It means that if we follow Jesus and he is our shepherd, then he takes care of us. Specifically in the New Testament, we hear where Jesus refers to himself as the good shepherd in John 10. He says he refers to himself as the good shepherd. Or Paul writes in Hebrews, he said, Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep. He's the great shepherd of the sheep. So in knowing this, what we've talked about so far, how does Jesus treat his sheep? And the points are there on your handout there this morning. Point one at the bottom of the page, if I bring my hurts, Jesus shows me compassion. If I bring him my hurts, Jesus shows me compassion. We hear Jesus talk about this in Matthew 9, and it says, when Jesus saw the crowds, his heart was filled with compassion for them, because they were hurting and didn't know where to get help. They were like sheep without a shepherd. Have you ever found yourself at times in life where you just go, I don't know where I'm going to get help from? You know, I think we've all been there, haven't we? Where you sometimes go, I don't know where to go for help. So we're a little bit like, you know, the people of that time. They were Jesus seen them as needing help, needing guiding and directing as from a shepherd. Jesus reveals his heart for his people. When I look at a crowd, I look for that safe place in the corner as an introvert to hide. You ever been to, you know, a party, you don't know anyone in the room, and I was like, I just want to hide off in the corner. You know, that's what I do. Simon's put his hand up back there. That's what I like to do. But when Jesus looks at the crowd, it says he is moved with compassion. He's moved with compassion because they were hurting, they were helpless, they were like sheep without a shepherd. So what does that mean? Well, there's a difference between empathy and sympathy and compassion, and that is this. Sympathy means I'm sorry you're hurt. Empathy means I'll hurt with you. But compassion means that I will do anything I can to stop your hurt. Do you get that? That I will do anything I can to stop your hurt. So we can bring our hurts to Jesus. And when I come to God and I say, God, I've got, you know, problems with this particular thing in my life. I've got a problem with emotions, relationships, anger. What, you can fill in the blank there, whatever that is. When I bring my hurts to Jesus, how does he respond? He does everything possible for you to meet alongside of you. He does everything possible. Everything possible, including being nailed with his hands and his feet to the cross. That's him doing anything possible for you. Do whatever to make the pain stop. In Matthew 20, Jesus said, this is why I come. I came not to be served, but to serve others and give my life as a ransom for many. That's why he came. He came with you in mind. He came with you in mind. So when we say we want to live like Jesus, it says to serve and to give, there's a good starting place. Where do you serve and where do you give? We're not Jesus, but there is always opportunity to respond to him, isn't there? If I bring my hurts to Jesus, Jesus shows me compassion. Point two, if I choose to follow Jesus, Jesus leads me in the right direction. Jesus leads me in the right direction. Having lived in Canberra, one of our places that we like to go to, or Nathaniel and I like to go to, was some of the museums, and in particular the War Memorial. It's just the way it depicts our history and times of great conflict is just so well done. And we'd been there many times, but one particular day on our day off, I dragged Sam along there and I said, we want to go to the War Memorial again. So we headed off and we went in through the door and there was a guy, a volunteer was there. It's like, who'd like to join us on a tour? And we're like, sure, you know, we've been here before, but let's go on a tour. The fantastic part about that was they were able to point out certain features in the museum that we've walked past plenty of times before, but they're able to explain the story behind that, to be able to offer so much more to that. Jesus offers to be our guide, to walk through those things in our life, those the big things that we face, and the little things as well, to guide us through and to point out things that we might often just breeze through and miss. And in particular, these characteristics for us. In Psalm 23:3, it says, he leads me in the right paths for his name's sake. And if Jesus says, the good shepherd walks ahead of the sheep and they follow him because they recognize his voice. It's good, isn't it? In relationship with him, that we can hear his voice and we know that he's there for us. Do we wander off? Yes, absolutely. Sometimes more times than we'd like to, don't we? Hey? We sort of go, you know, down this path and you're like, what am I doing? You know, I know that the path's over there, but the temptation's to go this way. Of course we wander off and we do that. But you know the best thing? Every time we come back, Jesus is there for us. He's waiting for us every time. Sometimes he might say, it's about time. You know, I've been here waiting for you. Why aren't you here? Why didn't you come back? Which brings me to point three. If I get confused and wander off, Jesus finds me and brings me back. If I wander off, Jesus finds me and brings me back. We've all heard the story about the sheep, Jesus leaving the 99 and pursuing the one. Leaving them there together and heading off to get the one. Why? Because every one of us matters to him. Every one of us matters to him. You might want to say to yourself, I matter to God. I matter to God. I matter. He was so much so that he will leave and pursue and come after you. Because he says, Jesus said, I came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus came on his rescue mission. He came on a mission to rescue us. Now follow this logic. If we weren't lost, Jesus wouldn't need it to come. If we weren't lost, Jesus wouldn't need it to come. It clearly implies that we're lost without him. If we could get to heaven simply on being a kind, nice person and do some good works and outbalance the bad things that we've done in our life, if that was the case, then Jesus dying on the cross was a complete waste of time. It wasn't needed. But that's not the case, is it? Jesus chose to pursue us to the point of his own death so that we could be in relationship with him, to correct those things in our life, to level the playing field because we're lost without him. You know, Isaiah 53 says, we're all like sheep who've wandered off and gotten lost. I can relate to that. Absolutely. We've all done our own thing and gone our own way. Parents, it's easy sometimes for little ones when they wander off in the crowd, isn't it? You know, you sort of, hang on, they were there 1 minute and they've wandered off. And we've got to pursue them, to find them, to track them down, and we remind them very sternly that never leave mummy and daddy's side and go their own way. Wandering off goes in our nature. It's part of who we are. We wander away quite often from safety and we wander away from God. It's part of who we are. But it doesn't matter how far we wander. It matters that Jesus is looking for us to bring us back time and time again. Which leads me to the final point. It says, if I fail or fall, Jesus rescues and recovers me. If I fail or fall, Jesus rescues and recovers me. Like sheep, we not only wander, we also stumble. We also fall down in many ways. But the further I get from God, the bigger those issues get in our life. I'll give you an example for a second. And this is one of those, you know, those things you learn sometimes about your faith, but you often forget. It was something I learned a long time ago. So if you're going to picture, if God was over there, all right, and the challenges in our life are over this side, it's all about perspective, right? So if I come over this side and all of a sudden I'm closer to God, the challenges in my life and the things that surround me are in a different perspective. You know, I've only got more of a view from God at that. But if I'm on the flip side, if I end up on here, just focusing on those things in my life that are really dragging on my attention and I forget to draw near to God, then all of a sudden that's going to consume my world. Yeah? Is that simple? Yeah? Sometimes I need to be reminded of that, to be able to help keep life in perspective. This week, Sam and I caught up with someone, and they were talking about, you know, how do we replenish our own things in our lives. So on Friday, I took some time before preparing this morning to help put things in perspective. Only half an hour to spend time with the Heavenly Father to get a fresh perspective on life. And do you know what? Sometimes you just need that, don't you? I don't know what your world's like or, you know, the things you've got sheltered in to find that space. But sometimes it's just 10 minutes, hey? 10 minutes to be reminded of God's perspective in our life. All of us stumble and fall, but how does Jesus react to that? He rescues us from that. Jesus gives the religious leaders at his time in teaching Matthew, he gives them these instructions. It says, if any of you has a sheep that falls into a pit on the Sabbath, which that's the Sabbath in those biblical times was a time that they weren't meant to work. They meant to stop, cease all activity as a day of rest. It says, will you not rescue it and lift it out? How much more valuable is man than sheep? Jesus would go out of his way, even on the day he wasn't meant to seek and to save the lost. So much so he did that for us. Jesus saying if the sheep fall and stumbles and falls into a pit, good common sense says we rescue it and recover it. And that's what we do. Jesus was showing them at the time the extreme compassion. Because for the Pharisees of the time, that would have been a really challenging teaching. They're like going, no, that's not right. We can't do that. But remember, Jesus came in with that spiritual perspective to apply it to that time, was saying, I have so much compassion for my people that I will go out of my way, that he will go out of his way for you. Is that good? Romans says it about it as clear as it could be. Nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears of today or our fears about tomorrow, not even the power of hell can separate us from God's love. How good is that? Is that good? So how does Jesus treat his sheep? He treats them with compassion. He leads us in the right direction. He brings us back when we wander off, and he rescues and recovers us when we make a mess of things. He rescues us and recovers us when we make a mess of things. If we can have the worship team back up this morning. Sometimes we do mess up, don't we? Yep. Sometimes more often than not. I know in my own world, you kind of think, why do I live like that? But we just do. And today, the worship team's going to help us this morning with some music. And it's an opportunity for you to maybe respond if you'd like to do that. Usually there's lines for notes on the sheet. Turn your sheet over if you want to and write some notes on the back about this morning. Maybe you haven't treated yourself well in the past and you might need to seek forgiveness from your Heavenly Father, to come before him again and to seek his forgiveness. Maybe you've not been treated well and it might be an opportunity to seek forgiveness from someone else with the Heavenly Father's help. Or maybe you don't even know Jesus. Maybe you haven't asked to be in a relationship with him. And it might be an opportunity to do that. He might be calling you home today. Today might be the day. And you can do that simply by sharing with the person beside you. Maybe even if you want to come to a place of prayer either side of the front here to do that. Bring someone with you if you want. If you don't want to do it by yourself, you can do that. To be able to open up your heart to him once again. Some of the lyrics in the song we're about to sing says, because your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Jesus is running after you, friends. Continually runs after us to be in relationship with him. So I invite you this morning to come, to pray, to sing, to worship, but to have communion with the Father. This might be your 10 minutes this week to be able to do that. So let's take this opportunity to do that this morning.